I want us to go to the Word of God immediately. Proverbs chapter number 19, verse 21. Proverbs chapter number 19. Is my mic working? I don't seem to hear myself. See, the Bible says faith comes by hearing. And if I can't hear, then I guess you will have a faithless pastor. Chapter number 19, verse number 21. Proverbs chapter number 19, verse number 21. When you get there, say amen. The Bible says this: there are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. I'll repeat. There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Father God, even as we read your word, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be here today. Abba Father, that he will guide us, that he will show himself and glorify himself in our lives. We pray today that as you interpret this word in our hearts, that glory and honor will come to you. We love you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. As we enter into this new decade, now it's too loud. I'll have too much faith. As we enter into this new decade, and I've said over and over that we lose decades so that way I don't get over it. Even in December, I'll preach at the beginning. Amen. Amen. As we enter the new decade, I want us to understand that God has got a place, a major place in your life. It doesn't matter who you are. God, number one thing to remember is that God has got a place, a major place in your life. I tell my kids every morning, as well, if I can remember, I tell them PGF, and they ask me what, and I say, put God first. And I believe that even as adults, as we continue living, we have to come to the place of continuously PGF, continuously putting God first in our lives. Number two thing is that you were created for a purpose. And sometimes because of lack of knowledge, you live out your life too little, if that is English. But there is a lot of potent inside you. There is a lot of power inside you. But many times, because we are not aware, we live out just a little bit of who we were created to fully be. You see, my grandmother had a TV. On the remote for the television, she only used the volume and the red button. A remote can do so many things. It can change the hue of the picture. It can do a lot other things. But because her simple understanding of the remote or of the potential of the remote was simply to increase the volume, to reduce the volume, and to turn off the TV. Which means the manufacturer created that remote and gave it so many things, but all they know is that simple thing. Sometimes God has created us with a lot of potential inside of us, but as we live lives like a grandma. All we are utilizing of who God has put inside of us is simply the red button and the volume up and the volume down. How I pray that as we enter into this new decade, that we begin understanding and begin living our lives to the fullest because of what God has created inside you. due to a request, I have to go back to this sermon that we've done a few years ago. And it's called the New Year's Resolutions. You might say, but it's not a new year. It can be for you. It can be for me. That we can choose to say, this is where I begin. That my map for the next 10 years begins now and it begins here. And this morning we are going to talk about just four things, four resolutions. And this I have used for the last, I think, 10 or 15 years. Every year, whenever the year comes around, I never have to think about my New Year's resolutions because I have these four that I have kept, these four that I've lived by. And by the grace of God, they've been able to propel me to the person that God would have me be. Well, in the process, underline that, still in the works. Number one thing, number one B, is to, we're going to talk about four B's. So it's going to be the four B's, which will be your 4 years resolution or your 4 10-year resolution. Four B's. The first B is to believe. The first B is to believe. Okay? Believe. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5. So you don't leave Proverbs so quickly. Proverbs chapter number 3, verse number 5. The Bible says this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto your own understanding. So in the next 10 years, you're going to say, I am going to choose to be a believer. I'm going to choose to believe in God. I'm going to choose to trust in God with all my heart and not lean on my own understanding. I'm going to choose to say, Lord, I will believe you. I will trust in you. The Bible says that many are the counsels. We've talked about this. Many are the devices in the hearts of men. It means many are the thoughts that we have, ideas, plans. NIV says many are the plans of men. We have got all these ideas and great ideas, but it's only the will of God that stands. Listen, you have got, God has got a major part to play in your life, which means he's running the show. You might think that you have it. You might think that you got it under control. But there is a master. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 24 that the earth and everything therein belongs to God. Everything in the earth belongs to God. He is the master. He is the king. He's the one who is running the show. So you might plan all that you have to plan for the next 10 years. But it is only his counsel, only his will that will be happening. If I was you, if I know that everything I will do is futile, if I knew that everything that I will come up with is useless, then I'd rather stand behind the person whose plans will happen. Which means I am merging with God. I am partnering with him. I am making myself to say, Father, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to trust you. I will stand behind you because I know that anyway, it's gonna go your way. I do that with my wife. Man, that was supposed to be funny. But it's all right. Now she's gonna be mad because it wasn't funny. No, I will not. I want to stay alive for the next 10 years. God's will is what will happen. So if you're wise, you're going to say, I'm going to believe. What do I believe? Number one, believe, and we are going to go with pros. Believe that God will protect you. God will protect you. Psalms chapter number 23. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He will protect you. He will be the one. He is your shepherd. Last week we learned that the shepherd, if anything has to come your way, it will have to go past the shepherd before it ever gets to you. He is your protector. He is your refuge. He is your strong tower. The Bible says that he's a strong tower. The righteous run to him and they are safe. God is going to protect you. So you are believing as you're entering in the next phase of your life in this new decade that God, I believe in God's protection. I believe in God's protection. Number two, God's provision. God's provision. So number one, I'm believing that he will protect me. Number two, I'm believing that he will provide for me. The Bible says in the book of Philippians chapter number 4, it says, I know that he will provide to me according to his riches in glory. He will provide. God is a provider. The Bible says his name is Jehovah Jireh. Jireh means the Lord that sees, the Lord that provides for me. He was called Jireh when he provided the lamb for Abraham. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is the Lord that provides. Which means I am going to make a choice to believe in the next 10 years that I know one thing about my God. I believe that he's a protector. I believe that he's a provider. He will provide for me. He will walk with me. Everything that I need, he has it. A few years ago, I've said this before. Our host parents gave us a truck. They sold it to me for $1. Praise the Lord. And the only reason I had to pay the dollar is so that I can get, you know, like tax to the government or something like that. Now, if I'm driving down from Laramie where they gave me the truck from, and I'm coming to Cheyenne, and in between there I get a puncture. And then I go and I check there's a spare wheel. But I do not have the jerk that would lift up the truck. Do you know that I can go back? I said something wrong, didn't I? Probably. That, you know. If I went back, they are not going to tell me, well, we can't give you that. We gave you the truck. Guys, if they can give me the truck, they will freely give me the rest of what I need. Jesus Christ was given. God provided Jesus. He is ultimate. That which was closest to his heart. That which was most expensive. An entire truck. Everything. Which means if we are going back to him for these small things, he's like, I gave you the biggest. This is no big deal. I can give you this. God is your provider. Third pro. He is. You can go to the next slide. Your promoter. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 verse 18. I didn't do all this so that you can take your notes and so that you can study your Bible this week. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 18. The Bible says that he is the one who moves us from glory to glory, from victory to victory. God does not move you from a place of failure to a higher place. He moves you from a place of victory, a place of glory, to another place of glory. Listen, if you know Jesus Christ, if he is your savior, that alone is a glory. That alone is a pedestal. He has lifted you up. He's put you in a position that is higher. So if there is any more promotion, it is going to be only to another level, only to another glory. The day that you knew Jesus Christ, you stepped on the first stair. which means you are in a place of glory. He can only move you to a higher glory. Listen, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today could be that day. Today could be the day for you to step on the next stair and say, I want to start from glory. He is your promoter. So you are believing that God is a protector, a provider. He is a promoter. He's going to promote you. The last pro, which is there, is power. Oh, sorry, that's not a pro. He will pardon you. Well, we can just presume and just take back the pro and just say the P's. Since we were dealing with the B's. So we can just say the P's now. He will pardon you. The Bible says in the book of 1 John, chapter number 1, verse 9. It says, if you confess your sin, he is faithful and righteous and he will forgive you. If you confess your sin, he will forgive you. He will pardon you. So as you enter into the next level of your life, into this next 10 years, into this new decade, I want you to remember this, that I am going to walk into this as a believer. What am I going to believe? I'm going to believe that my Father in heaven, he is a provider. He is a protector. He is a promoter, and he will pardon me. These are yours for the taking. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, when we have our faith in him, we acquire, this is in the package. It came in the box. When we accepted Jesus, when we became believers, we bought into protection, promotion, provision, or providence, as well as pardon. The second B, so this is the first B, is that I'm going to believe. The second B is I am going to, if you can go to the next slide, please. Or rather, let's read this scripture first. The Bible says this, for the which cause I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Paul is writing to Timothy, and he's talking to Timothy. He says to Timothy, listen, inasmuch as I'm suffering, I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have trusted. I know whom I can hide in. For the next 10 decades, I know whom I have believed. And that's what we are going to do. The first B is going to be believing. We are going to enter these 10 decades as a people believing. Number two, we are going to belong. We are going to belong. So the first one is to believe. To believe that he's a protector, he's a provider, he is a promoter, and he can pardon you. And then we are going to belong. Choose to say in the next 10 years that you will belong. That you will belong somewhere. The saddest thing that I have seen, I work as a chaplain for hospice, which means I hang out with people at the very, very last times of their lives. The saddest moments for me have been when I walk into these rooms and somebody is by themselves. And I ask them, do you have a church? And they tell me, no. Do you have a family? Oh, I had a sister, but I never talked to her for the last 20 years. Do you have anybody, friends? And they say, no. That is mostly the saddest moments for me. Belong somewhere. Say in the next 10 years, I am going to be committed. I'm going to choose to belong somewhere. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse number 25. Hebrews chapter number 10, verse 25. I believe that should be up there. The Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It simply says, belong to a home family, a congregation. Do not neglect the assembling together of people. The American culture is a culture of individualism. It is about me and myself. And many times when we have people, we don't trust them as much. You can say, in the next 10 years, I'm going to choose to put people close to me. I'm going to choose to have a congregation, a family, belong to a church. Belong to a church. Be committed to a church. It doesn't have to be Rema. Although, to be fair, I'd love for you to be a part of this church. But find a church that you belong to, that you call home, a home church, a family. Belong somewhere. Psalms chapter 133, the Bible says, it gives God pleasure when brethren dwell together in unity. It's like the anointing that flows from the head to the beard to the skirts of Aaron. It says, I love it when people are together. Listen, the devil understands that unity can destroy his kingdom. That is why he is breaking up relationships. That is why he's breaking up marriages. That is why he's breaking up churches. The devil knows that if we can come together, then he doesn't have a chance. Choose to say, in the next 10 years, I am going to find me a home. I'm going to belong somewhere. I'm going to belong to a family. I'm going to belong to a church. I'm going to belong to a people. I'm going to be a part of something greater than myself. I'm going to belong. So number one is we are going to believe. Believe. Believe for protection. Believe that God is capable of protecting you. He's capable of providing for you. He's capable of promoting you, which means it doesn't matter what area of your life you want promoted, he'll move you from level to level, from level to level, from a higher level to a higher level, and even to another victory. And believe that he can forgive your sin. Listen, child of God, it doesn't matter where you are, there is no sin that is too dark for Jesus to handle. There is no brokenness that is too broken for Jesus to fix. All you need to do is show up. Show up and say, Daddy, I am here. I am here. I am here. He will pardon you. He says, if you confess your sin, he will forgive you. He's not looking at it and thinking, man, this is too much. There is no sin that will ever surprise God. There is no mess that is too messy for Jesus. The blood of Jesus has the power to cleanse, forgive, and pardon, and restore you. Then we are going to belong somewhere. So we are going to believe. Then we are going to belong. The third thing, the third B. See, these are going to be easy. You can't forget this. Well, I've never forgotten them since I first came across them. The third one is to beware. To beware. Believe. Belong. Beware. Number one thing, your greatest enemy, enemy number one. I wish I made this dramatic and brought a mirror for everybody. Man, I miss on these awesome opportunities. But your number one enemy is the person that you see in the mirror. It is yourself. Beware of yourself. Beware of yourself. In fact, the scripture says that there are some sins are done outside of the body, but the messiest ones are the ones that are done. Beware of yourself. Many of us are walking and going around in circles because we are running the show. We are making the calls and decisions that are the same decisions and expecting different results. We are just around there. Be aware of the potential of destruction that you pose.
Uh-oh.
That is why the Bible says, Jesus says to us, listen, the only way to be able to beat this is to die. Like we are so dangerous that the only way for us to survive is to not exist. We have to die to ourselves. Because as long as we allow self to live on, we pose such a danger to ourselves. He says, you need to die to yourself. You need essentially surrender. Let go so that God will start living inside you. We have to give up our rights or whatever we think to be our rights. We have to lay down our lives that Christ will start living in us. We have to allow Christ to start bulging and be the one that's showing every time in every situation of our lives. It is time to say, I am letting go and allowing God in every circumstance. When somebody cuts you on the road, you're thinking, if I do something, it is not going to be positive. I'm going to allow Jesus to do that through me. That is dying to self. You are aware of the potential risks that you pose. And so you silence yourself. How do you do that? How do you silence yourself? Stop responding to the urges as they come your way. And respond to them by the word of God. What does the scripture say about that urge, that situation, that thought? What does, when you allow the word of God to be incarnate, which means the word of God starts living inside you, which means every situation that comes, you're sitting down and saying, you know what? What can I apply scripturally to this situation? Then suddenly, you will be what John said. Bible says that they come to John. You know, John's light bulb is just like at the highest. His banner is flying high. He's now famous in Israel. He's this guy that is baptizing people and bringing them to Jesus. And man, great things are happening, including the big people. The Pharisees are coming to be baptized by him. And then these disciples of John come to him and they say, John, did you hear that Jesus is also baptizing? The John's response is the most powerful thing that should happen and should be your response today, tomorrow, and forever, even as we walk into the next decade, is I must decrease that he increases. I must decrease. You must decrease. You must surrender. You must go down that Christ takes up and starts living and starts being. Awareness of self. What kind of danger do I pose? Have you ever met you? Awareness of self. Beware. Number two thing to be aware of is Satan. The greatest lie that Satan has made to the people in America, to the people of the world, to the people of Cheyenne, is that he doesn't exist. We have learned to explain things away. When he knocks over a glass, we say, no, that is the wind. When he starts bringing the spirit of heaviness upon you, we start saying, nah, that is depression. We have a label for it. And so he continues wreaking havoc and bringing all these things, but we explain them because we give them names. Be aware, the Bible is clear that you have one enemy. The Bible says in John 10:10 that Satan has come to steal. steal, to kill, and to destroy. We have an enemy, and he wants to kill you. He wants you dead. 1st thing he steals from you, he steals your worth. He steals your self-worth. He tells you, you're useless. You're not beautiful. You are hopeless. He steals that. He destroys us. Because then we start walking around and looking at ourselves as if we don't exist, as if our worth in life does not exist. And suddenly we think, you know what? It's not worth it anymore. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to drink myself to a stupor. I'm going to use drugs. That is his MO. He wants to steal. He wants to kill. He wants to destroy you. Beware of Satan. How do I fight against Satan? The Bible says, therefore submit yourselves under God. Resist him and he will flee. So when those things start coming your way, you need to just submit yourself under God. Which means, again, we are going back to believing. We are going back to understanding that it is nothing to do with my understanding. I will believe, I will trust in God, and I will not rely on my own understanding. As you submit before the Lord, you look at Satan, the devil, in the eye and tell him, you do not belong here. You tell him, this body has been purchased. You tell him, this soul has been purchased. Bought at a price. Jesus died on the cross so I don't have to die. And raise up and become. Oh, I just added a 5th B. That's free. Believe. Belong. Beware. Believe protection. Believe provision. Believe pardon. Believe promotion. Belong to a church. Belong to a family. Belong somewhere. Beware of the devil. Beware of the danger that you pose to your own self. Beware. The last one. Look at that. I'm killing it. Praise the Lord. The 4th B is easy. Behave. Oh, come on. That's easy. That's even free. Behave. That I don't even have to preach. Behave. Which means it doesn't matter what the circumstance is. I am, in the next 10 years, I am going to behave myself. Behave. The Bible says this. Let's go to the next scripture. I therefore, this is Paul in writing to the church in Ephesus, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherever you are called. That you walk worthy of your calling. Behaving means walking worthy of your calling. Who are you? Our worth is no longer our own because we are now believing, sitting under Christ. We are decreasing that he increases. So our worth has got nothing to do with your past. So as you're walking, your worth is now different. It is because of what Jesus has done that has put worth inside you. Let me explain this. I hope that the Holy Spirit brings this home to you. Listen, I know probably nobody told you. You are very important. So important, so much so that when you messed up in sin, God could not create another human. Imagine, he could have just gone ahead and done human 2.0. He could have made a better version of you. But no, when we sinned, Jesus Christ had to die to come after us. There is something inside each and every one of us that is so important to God that he could not dare build another one. He breathed his air inside you. He breathed a piece of himself inside you. There is something inside you that is bigger than you. That is so important that he would have to die. Listen, if it required for another death of Jesus Christ on the cross, another humiliation to receive you, he would do it like that. He would come back again and do it. You are that important. Behave, walk worthy of your calling. Who are you? Understand that your value is not in your past. Your value is not in your present circumstances. Your value is inside you, and it's so much worth than silver and gold, the Bible says. You are important. Walk worthy of your calling. Behave yourself. It doesn't matter what circumstances are going on around you. Behave yourself. The last verse, the Bible says, let your light so shine before men that they may see and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light so shine that the world will see and glorify your Father. Right before this, Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Salt is what gives flavor to this earth. You are it. Walk worthy of your calling. Behave. Behave. So we've looked at four things. Believe, belong, beware, behave. All these things are a portion for them that have come to know Jesus, that have come to make him their savior. You see, the Bible says in the book of John chapter 1 verse 12 that for them that believed him, to them he gave the power to become sons of God. For them that believed him, he gave them power to become sons of God. See, when my son comes to me with a list of things that he needs for school, I take the list, I read the list, and in my head I'm thinking of where I'll get the money to get that. I don't ask a follow-up question. I know he needs it. I know it's for school. Do you know what else I know? He is my son. He is my responsibility. When my neighbor's child shows up with a list of things they need for school, on the other hand, I might, out of the goodness of my heart, be able to take my wallet and say, let's discuss this. But not before I ask him about his parents. not before I ask him or her about the circumstances that have led to him coming to me. When I'm just a neighbor. When we show up praying before the Father as a people who haven't met Jesus Christ, our personal Savior, we are essentially neighbor's kids that are showing up at the door with a list of stuff. Well, he might answer, he might give whatever you're asking for, but it's going to be after questions. But when we become, the Bible says to them that believe, he makes them sons. Do you know what happens to sons? They receive inheritance. Sons receive, a neighbor does not receive inheritance. A son receives, you become a joint heir with Christ. Heir, I was told to say that. They insist I should say heir, and I see an H at the beginning. I don't understand these people. White people. We are joint heirs with Christ because we are sons. It begins somewhere. It begins with you stepping over and saying, I want to be a son. I want to be adopted into your family. And then when we show up as children, as sons. Will you stand up so we pray? Maybe you're here this morning, close to afternoon, and you have not yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You have not given your life to Christ. All it takes is a simple prayer. Jesus' arms are always wide open. He says, come. And I will receive you. You don't have to clean your mess up. You don't have to do anything. Just come. He says, I will by no means send away anybody that comes my way. Or perhaps you're here this morning. And you're looking at your life and you think, you know I gave my life to Christ. But I've been chasing after my own tail. I've just been going around in circles, making the wrong choices continuously and continuously. It's going around, doing the same damn things. And I want a newness this morning. I just want another start. I know this is not a new year, but as I look at the four New Year's resolutions, the four 10-year resolutions, I want to start anew as a son. As a daughter, this is a chance for you. This is the place for you. The Bible says in the book of Corinthians that on the hour of salvation, I succored thee. And then he says, this now is the hour of salvation. If you're here, I would like to pray with you. We are a small family, so I'm going to ask all of us to pray. But I would like, if you are purposefully deciding to give your life to Christ today, I would like you to come and hang out with me sometime. Come talk to me late after this. So church, let's say, Our Father, we come to you this morning. We have sinned against you. Forgive us. Accept and receive us into the beloved. Cleanse us of all our iniquity. Forgive us of all our sin. And take care of our transgressions. In Jesus' name. Amen. Abba Father, as we stand before you this morning, we come as a people battered by this world, as a people that have been plundered. And because of that, Father, we have fallen short of your glory in many ways. We ask you this morning, this afternoon, please forgive us. Father, erase our names from the book of damnation and write it into the book of life. Accept us into the beloved as sons and as daughters. Adopt us into your family. Because as we begin this decade, we say we want to belong. We choose to belong to you, Jesus. We choose to belong to you, our Father in heaven. So, Father God, guide us, direct us, because you are our Father. Lord Jesus Christ, as we come to you, we want to recognize that we have given our lives to you today. And I pray, Jesus, that you will guide us into churches where the word is taught, that you will guide us under leadership, under these disciples that will disciple us so that we can walk according to or worthy of your calling as you have spoken to us this morning. Help us to behave in these next 10 years. Help us to belong in these next 10 years. Help us to believe in these 10 years. And help us to beware in these 10 years. We love you, Daddy, and we worship you, for there is no one else. You are all we have. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.